Oh yeah, man. Well, that was a cool little NBC type of deal before the show. You know what I mean?
Basically.
Hey. You know what I'm saying? Hey man, happy Sunday to all of y'all. Happy potential Black Champ Eve. You know what I'm saying? Or day of, because it's well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because it's time to talk about wrestling. Start talking about wrestling like nobody else in the world, man. So you already know what it is. You're tuned into the first Black Champ podcast, and it is me. I am the pick, fresh off of a cool 420 celebration.
That's dope.
Care from the port.
I bought drugs, though.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, okay.
You know hey, what I mean? Therapist told me to go ahead and get the drugs, fam.
Yeah, man.
I was so excited.
So salute to the Wanda brand. You know, that's good. That's good for my, like, I'm not arthritis. I'm not like, I don't have that, but like just pains.
Yeah.
My 40-year-old ailments is good for that.
Oh, yeah, it's that time. I'm checking out the 1906 brand. You know, tomorrow.
Okay, I think I've heard of them.
Tomorrow or Tuesday, depending on when it comes. But I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about today's show. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. As y'all saw in the opener, Barber's Chair Network is the home. Make sure you subscribe there on everything. Also, make sure you follow us on everything at the dfbc.pod. And you can search that out and get all episodes on your DSPs. Make sure you get the merch. You see that Camp got on the hoodie. I do not have on First Black Champ gear, but I saw this online. I'm going to Miami on Friday, and I was like, fuck it, we Razor Ramon in it. I saw this online, and I bought the Razor Ramon shit. I'm gonna go to Florida, and I'm gonna say that nigga's me.
Oh no.
I'm gonna wear this on the plane, and somebody's gonna be like, yo, Razor Ramon, that's dope. And I'm like, yeah, this is me. Word? Oh, man, that's wild. I'm going to lie. Yes, I'm going to lie. Even though buddy ass do look like me a little bit from the side at that age. It's not me, but I'm going to lie. I'm going to lie and say that was me with Razor Ramon, Scott Hall during the vignettes. I'm going to say this kid right here. I'm gonna say that's Otis.
Hey, yo.
And lie. Yo. That's my cousin Otis. That's Sade and that's Rainey. Those are my cousins. And that's Vince.
No.
I'm gonna say it's Vince. I'm just gonna lie. I'm just gonna lie.
I mean, hey, it's 2024. Why not? I mean, hey, look, everybody got their own version of lies that's wrapped in truth.
Oh yeah, you know what? No, this is my truth. You're right. This is my truth. You know, this is no longer lies. It's not the truth. It's my truth, right? And my truth is that that kid in the jean fit right there is me sitting next to Razor Ramon on the block. And I ain't been back home. Right, and I ain't been back home since this. So I thought it was fitting for me to wear me and Razor Ramon and my family as I go back and kick it. I'm going to lie my ass off. I'm going to see who accepts the lie and laugh if they say something. You know, but what that means is, what that does means is no First Black Champ episode next week, because I then will be probably in Grand Turk.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah. And I'll be in Lexington. So, man, that kind of worked out.
There you go. So, see, you know what I'm saying? So, I'll be working, though. You won't.
Yeah, nah, I won't be working.
I'll be working. I'll be tired as hell, you know, probably after a Earth, Wind, and Fire performance. So,
hey.
So
it's before gonna be last one, too, ain't it? This is, that's Frankie Beverly and May.
Yeah, that's Frankie Beverly. Yeah. It's about time, too, because Frankie be on stage sounding hoarse.
Yeah, man. But salute to the legend, the icon.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest.
And definitely one of the most Black famous people of all time.
Man, hey, now that is a fact.
Yeah.
I would have thought, I think my grandma knew who that was.
And yeah.
She only listened to James Cleveland when I was like seven.
Right, yeah, but like white people, I don't think only white people that love black people know Maze. Featuring Frankie Beverly. I asked my therapist, because me and my therapist had a Black Famous conversation.
Because I had
right.
That's hard.
You know me. Hey man, hey. We were talking about the trip that I gotta go on. I was like, oh, you don't know some of these people. And I named one person. She was like, oh, I know that person. I was like, oh, shit, okay. Do you know Frankie Beverly? She's like, no, does not ring a bell.
Really?
Yeah, white.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. That's
now
true.
She was black, you know, but like, oh, I know who the fuck that is. But
right. Is that what you mean?
Like, if you know, if there's a white, if you meet a white person and that white person says, I know Frankie Beverly in Maze, they're not racist.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, that. Most likely, they parents, if not them, they were participants in the Black Panther Party for self-defense.
Like, there's certain people, if you know, if, like, white people know them, I don't consider them racist. Like, Frankie Beverly is one of them. If you go in a white person's house and Joy and Pain is playing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they might. They might be descendants of mixed grandkids at that point. If you hear Joy and Pain in the house.
Yeah, like it's like three artists that if I walk into a white person house and they're playing it, I'm like, I don't think they racist.
Yeah.
They have a race. It's Frankie Beverly, the Maze. It is Earth, Wind, and Fire. And oddly enough, it's Anita Baker.
Anita Baker, okay.
Yeah, okay. I can't see a racist white person listening to Body and Soul. I can't. There's no how.
Yeah, because to know that black woman from Detroit, that's not Aretha Franklin.
Right.
Just, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You're really about something.
Like, you could like Michael Jackson and be racist.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You could like Prince and be racist.
Yeah, for sure.
But if white person...
Too many guitars to be like, oh, that's not black music. Yeah. That's what they would say. It's not true, but they would say that.
You can listen to Jimi Hendrix and hate niggas.
Yeah.
But if you listen to Maze featuring Frankie Beverly, you are very liberal.
Yeah. Listen, hey, look, if you're over 50 and you're white and I heard Happy Feelings at your house,
oh,
your grandfather biracial. That's all I'm going to tell you. Your grandfather biracial. Oh. You
got it. Boy, imagine you walk in a white person house. Right. Imagine you keep that going. Keep that going. Keep that going. Imagine you just walk into a white person house and that's playing. And they cleaning the house. Just imagine Saturday morning, Happy Feelings is playing and they cleaning the house. How could they be racist? Like, how? That song, you can't, like, it's...
It's like, nah.
Like, how can you hate people listening to that song?
In a way.
If the world just... It's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now. If you just put Happy Feelings on a goddamn megaphone and just blared that shit across the country...
Yeah.
It end world hunger.
I don't think you're wrong on this.
Yeah, you talking about a war going on in the Middle East? Oh, play Happy Feelings over there. Next thing you know, you're going to see Iran and Israel stepping in shit.
Sharing bread?
You want some?
You know, we had a few slices, man.
Here you go, man. It's love. All right, man, let's get to this wrestling shit. Hey, before we get, like, started in the deep parts about it, like you said, man, there's a chance that we might have a new black champ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Tonight, man, it is AEW Dynasty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, it's in St. Louis. My bad.
Oh,
yeah, shouts out to
Black
Luke.
Wall Street Challenge.
You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to the Brick Cave. You know, shouts out to the whole Brick Cave. You know, Boogie D and company. They are all out in St. Louis. So shouts out to you all. You all are going to get possibly a first black champ crowned in St. Louis. I don't know how this is going to go over with the folks.
Oh, and we about to, boy, we about to find out. We about to find out.
We about to find out. But yeah, man, AEW Dynasty coming up tonight. A couple of the matches that signed. I saw somebody said this was a glorified house show. And I was like, damn, y'all wow. Like, shit. Hey. This is what y'all on?
You ever need your back kicked in? I'll pause over on that and tell them what you're about to do.
Yeah, like, I felt bad when I said read this shit. I was like, God damn, how we just gonna call this a glorified house show at the Chaffetz? Yeah. The Chaffetz Arena, you know what I'm saying? Out in good old St. Louis. I've been there before. We got Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
What is
guaranteed to be a 7-star match.
I was going to say.
It's guaranteed. Guaranteed to be a 7-star match. Who else we got on the card? Oh, Tony Storm did do a dope-ass promo aimed at Thunder Rosa. So you got that. The Young Bucks versus FTR again. Hey. It feels like they wrestle each other all the damn time.
Yeah, they really think they divide Eric and Freebirds.
Yeah.
I think differently.
Yeah, Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly for the AEW International Championship. Who else we got? Undisputed Kingdom. A trios match. Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. And for the championship, the main event of the evening, we got Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship. I will say to you all that this is not a glorified house show or a glorified TV show. It is a stacked card. I'm not going to lie. I am not going to stay up for all of these. But after going to New Japan, I see why it's 12 matches, because that's what New Japan does. But Swerve versus Samoa Joe. Can we see a first time ever AEW World Champion crowned in St. Louis on Sunday night?
Man, I really do think we could, but it's it's kind of an odd time, especially with wrestling haters, you know what I'm saying? Like, with organization haters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, and I wanted to ask this question to you as we were pre-showing this, but it's perfect to save it for the actual show. You got Swerve versus Samoa Joe. I mean, if you've been watching wrestling the past, 6 years? It's the guy that we felt should have always been the WWE champion versus the guy that we thought was going to win the WWE Championship at one point. And, you know, obviously their WWE runs, we all wanted more. We all expected more. We thought just greater things were going to happen for both Samoa Joe and Swerve. But here we are, AEW. And it looks like no matter what, you know, Tony Khan is going to go with a person of color to be his world champion. So that is a win. If you've been looking at the beginning, I guess, of the organization,
it's a win for POC.
Yeah, it's a win for POC. Even though, you know, I don't think it's mandatory, depending on who your talent is. Because, hey, look, I'm here to give I'm going to close today with how I'm glad rock music is back in wrestling. But we're going to stay right here, right now. but to stay back on topic, I worry about this a little bit, Bang, because there might be a nasty narrative that may tarnish Swerve's potential title reign. And that nasty narrative could be, oh, well, we see what Jade doing. We see all the black excellence and the blackness. So now he's making Swerve compete by beating a Samoan, and Samoans are running the WWE right now. So this is his way of, you know, pandering and yet elevating his, you know, multicultural talent at the same time. And I don't want that for Swerve, because I think Swerve is dope. So I just want him to flat out win the title People feel that he's earned it, he's deserved it, and he's dope. Now, granted, I see the footage, you know, from the arenas to Rolling Loud. People obviously want him to win, but I don't like for black champs to have asterisks. You know what I'm saying? And we got to eat that Kofi one. That's why we don't talk about it as much, even though we love the moment in time. But I don't want another Kofi-esque situation for Swerve, because that young guy really gets busy. And I don't want it to seem like Tony Khan's late button pushing on just champions of color has anything to do with what we potentially could see tonight.
I feel you. I think my bigger worry is him being a transitional champion. When yeah. Will Ospreay there, I think it's more of a conversation of putting the belt on somebody like him. I don't want him to get the belt and then lose it on some random ass episode of Dynamite. That's what I'm worried about. I think it's time. I think Swerve has really put in the work. The fans is all behind him. It's time to put the belt on him. Whether if he was a person of color, black, Mexican, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's time.
And that's what I want people to have right there. I don't want people to move from what you just said right there.
Like, but my thing is that'd be fucked up, fam. Yeah,
that'd be wild.
That'd be fucked up. It's shit. Imagine this word won tonight.
They're gonna come out to Megadeth.
And all of a sudden, fucking Tony Schiavone be like, "Oh, what? Oh my God, is that?" You know, Tony Schiavone is the king of, "Oh my God, is that?" And then we know exactly who the nigga is. Like, right. You know, you just trying to figure out what we calling him now that he over here. Cause,
right.
No, Edge. Oh my God, is that? Hey, man, they going to call him by his real name. Adam Copeland, I can't believe my God, I can't believe it. You sure they ain't going to call him Edge? Nah, we WWE own that shit. Adam Copeland, oh, my God. So that's what I hope. I hope that he wins it. He gets his time in front of St. Louis. Everybody do that dance and shit. That Prince Nana do or whatever. And then we all good. Also, before we get into some flashbacking here on First Black Champ, it seems that Uncle Howdy is coming.
Yeah.
We got QR codes again, fam. Now we got to make sure our phones is handy.
Yeah, yeah.
When we watching wrestling again.
Yeah, my phone went to shit, too. I got to delete, I guess, 1,000 things. They won't even let me.
Oh yeah.
Check email. I was out of so much storage.
Oh yeah, that's a wrap, fam. Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah,
Yeah,
my next phone will be 1 terabyte.
I'm with you, fam. I'm with you. But yeah, man, we starting to see some QR codes coming up. Mm-hmm. Talk about being set free. There's rumors of not only Uncle Howdy, Bo Dallas, Uncle Howdy coming back, but there are rumors of a Wyatt Six. What was essentially what was supposed to end up being everything that happened when Bray Wyatt returned, you know, before his unfortunate passing.
Yeah.
You know, now we're starting to get rumors of possibly Uncle Howdy, Eric Rowan. Oh, Rowan right. Coming back. Braun Strowman, that's three. Old girl pregnant. You know what I'm saying? So she had a baby. Alexa Bliss had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's that. Who else? I saw a rumor that Dexter Lumis might be up in there as well. We haven't seen Dexter Lumis in a while.
Yeah.
What do you fit now? The other day, I think it was last week, I said there's another faction coming because Triple H love factions.
For sure.
Triple H, look, I'm going to tell y'all again. Triple H really want to be WCW. Triple H might be WWE to the core, but he loves WCW. All right? Sure. He liked that shit.
For sure.
But with that being said, what are your thoughts about a potential Wyatt Six, and who would you like to see in this? If you'd like to see anybody.
Yeah. I'm conflicted here because obviously seen the doc. So I kind of felt something was coming that would be in this realm. And I'm sure that the plan or the ideas that Bray Wyatt laid out are more than visible, right? Like, I'm sure that. And I'll say this, I'm not excited for it, but I do like the fact that Triple H is kind of overseeing it because he's wrestling mind. He's, he's overseeing the programming. I'm sorry. So he's like wrestling mind. I'm sure that he could talk with, you know, Bo Dallas. And obviously, hey, look, man, Bray Wyatt is still alive. You know, Sam Mike Rotunda is still alive. You know, and I think that you have a lot of great wrestling minds that will pour into this idea. So it could be something special. I don't think it will be as, you know, cinematic, New Line Cinema-ish or whatever, because that's kind of what Bray Wyatt's bag was. I still think he could have been like the Scorsese of WWE films if they gave him a chance, if he had that chance, you know what I'm saying? But no, I can't front like I'm excited, man, because part of Bray Wyatt being Bray Wyatt was Bray Wyatt being alive and giving you his own vision. So now we're trying to trust the wrestling world and TKO with his vision. I don't know. I got faith in Bo Dallas, so I don't want to sound like that. But what are we going to do and where are we going to go with this? Because now, much like the corporation or the corporate ministry, looking for a dead guy to get y'all over. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm nervous as well. Because I'm not worried about Bo Dallas. Let's just say this. I've for been sure. a Bo Dallas fan since NXT. Yeah. And I mean, technically, even though I wasn't watching FCW regularly, mm-hmm. but I would find some episodes, watch him and his brother, and I'm a big fan of their family. Mm-hmm. You know, so I am a fan, and I want this to work for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if this is off the backs of your brother who has passed away. You don't want this to fail. This can't fail. Yeah. There's so much pressure behind this. With that being said, that's part of why I'm nervous about this. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather him be his own man. It's like when Eddie Guerrero passed away, right? Mm-hmm. I still, and this might sound shocking to some people, but I still feel a way about Rey Mysterio winning the title off of the back of Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because it's like, yo, we gave him something because of that. And if he was not around, he wouldn't have got it.
Hey.
Like, you wouldn't have done it. And that goes to, it has to be one type of shit. Like, it got to be one Mexican superstar. It has to be one black superstar. So that's at that time. Yeah. You know, Chavo went from being current white to back to being Chavo and shit. Yeah. Like,
to being released.
Like, to being released. Like, even to me, like, if you was going to do that, you should have gave it to a Guerrero.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's probably why it feels like to me that Chavo feels a way about Rey Mysterio Jr. Like, if you're going to do that, it should have been with the last name Guerrero, not this dude with the mask. But I feel a way because it's the always one type of thing. Not that it shouldn't have happened, but it had to be like one person die for you to go ahead and take that spot.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope don't happen here. It's already a number of factions. And then, like, are you going to eventually put the belt on Bo Dallas? Or are you going to do what should have been done in the first place with this? Use this as an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Like y'all did The Undertaker in this early time, and not try to put a belt because everybody is so excited to see or hear this person.
Yeah.
Now, if the character gets over in that way and everything gets over in that way, then all right, cool, we can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But I hope that this has led to it being an attraction and not necessarily like what they've tried to do in the past with Bray Wyatt and the Fiend character and just rush him up the top of the card. Like, I don't want to see Bo Dallas versus Cody Rhodes in like at Survivor Series.
Yeah, yeah. And see, and that's and that is my potential worry as well. It's like there's still ways to be great. There's still ways to do great work and do great things. And it don't have to involve the rocket ship to the moon. You know what I'm saying? Like, much to your point about the Eddie Guerrero thing, Eddie and Ray thing. I just look at all of this like, okay, was this all the stuff that y'all had a standstill on because he came up with his own creative, but y'all said he was difficult to work with? So now we gonna do it? Like, I literally have those concerns. I legit have those concerns because, look, I watched the doc. Hell, I'll buy the shirts if y'all need, like, whatever it is. But what I don't want now is to now all of his ideas make sense or they become watered down because he's not here. And because who does that help? Hey, listen, even though he did his job, but I didn't like it. I hated Bo Dallas on the Bo Leave thing, but I hated it because it was great. And I was like, yo, this is the ugliest little kid alive. I used to say, but the Bo Leave thing was phenomenal. It was phenomenal work, both in and out of the ring. So to me, even with the B team success, all of that, Bo Dallas continually gets himself over. So to Bang's point, not worried about Bo Dallas. Not worried at all.
And wait, go ahead, my bad, because it's something else is this.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about him at all. I'm worried about him being tasked with being his brother. That's what I'm worried about. And it's like, hey, he was never meant to be that. We could have definitely put them on the same show and together and coexist in some kind of way. And I guarantee you, Bo Dallas would have still got himself over even if Bray Wyatt is out for 3 weeks with like a shoulder injury or an ankle sprain. He's fine. It's all these other people potentially involved in this that are the issue. And literally, they've always been the issue. From the names you just named outside of Alexa Bliss, ain't nobody got themselves over for what they do solo to that magnitude.
Yeah, so the other part of this is I don't want to hear the name Uncle Howdy after he debuts. Kill that name. We're not doing that. That sounds like some Vince McMahon shit. That sounds like Vince McMahon saying, yo, I got to name one of these people. What about Uncle Howdy? That name always sound clownish to me. It just sounds like he's Uncle Elmer's cousin. Go back to WrestleMania 3 if y'all don't know what I'm talking about. No, I want him to have the Uncle Howdy mask on and Michael Cole gets his, is that Tony Schiavone on that he takes off the mask and he uses his real name? Because I got questions.
Yeah.
Why the fuck they put an O on Rotunda's name? Have you thought about that? I've thought about this all my life. I have a wrestling podcast, so now I can say it. Somebody got to tell me. Their name is Rotunda.
Yeah.
Why they put an O on their shit?
My guess is that's just how long Vince McMahon will NIL you and trademark you. He was like, yo, because he was probably like, yo, I really want to be myself. No, you're going to be IRS now.
Yeah, like...
Hey, because you already took my name.
Yeah, like, I always wondered that, like, yo, that is Rotunda. Why they put an O on that? That got to be Vince McMahon's way of trademark. Hey, we just going to put the O on your shit instead of A. But Triple H, it seems like to me...
Wouldn't that be wild if the trademark paperwork just came across with the error? And he was like, I know, that's the shoe.
Somebody fucked that up. Somebody fucked that up in processor, fam. Yo, shit's got an O on it now. We're going to keep it there. So like Brando said, yeah, a name like Uncle Howdy will never be WWE champ. Yeah. A name like Uncle Howdy would never be no champion, but 24/7. So yeah. What I want when the debut happens is the light is dark and shit. The light flight right here. And he slowly takes that bitch off. They say, it's Taylor Rotunda, not Dole, Rotunda. And then you start seeing the other five people behind him or in the crowd. So, like, he's in the middle of the crowd. Then the light shine over there is Eric. A light shine over there is Bray. A light shine over there is Dexter Lumis. And then it's Alexa Bliss holding her baby. Mm-hmm. And they all look menacing. And then Raw go off. It's like, ah! And then it goes off.
What, just for name's sake, what if he was Wyndham Wyatt?
Nah.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
They're the Wyatt Six led by Taylor.
Okay. All
right. Or just Wyndham. If you want to just say Wyndham, because that's Wyndham is his brother's name, which is his uncle's name, but his daddy last name is Rotunda. So that's what's like, all right, cool. So maybe it's just Wyndham, you know.
Rotunda Wyatt.
But then Mike, like, yo, what about me, son? Like, damn, you right, fam. We just Taylor Rotunda me.
I'm digging.
And then you just slowly build this shit out. Mm. But don't put them in no title hunts. Matter of fact, they can help you win the title. Yeah. Like, they can help you get the shit. But don't new Nexus them. But don't give him this Uncle Howdy name. This is not what we doing, man. All right, man. Let's go ahead and get into a Camp and Bean On situation here. Hey. Because Camp been telling y'all what was gonna happen with Chad Gable. And it officially happened in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, man.
Chad Gable beat the shit out of Sami Zayn in Montreal. Or yeah, however they was using, saying Montreal. I'm not going to try it.
Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal and all that stuff. Which I loved because it makes the Intercontinental Championship even feel stronger. Especially at the end of the night. But what was your thoughts since you predicted this and been doing so for months?
Yeah, man. Hey, it's been a pretty good 2024 for me. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah,
man.
You've been on your shit. So what do you feel about the final heel turn of Chad Gable?
I like it. I like that the first thing he did was suplex the shit out of him in front of his wife.
Yes.
He was like, yeah, nah, we not. It was like, yo, what's wrong with you? He was like, what? The waterhead was fuming. It was boiling at the top. But, pause. But, man, I thought it was really cool. I love the fact that nobody really stopped him or interrupted him because it was like, oh, we don't even expect this from Chad Gable. And he did the best thing to do. And I think we underestimate or we underrate this, or maybe we're just unconscious of this. Going heel on a person who's loved in a city, boy, does that set the tone.
Yeah.
Boy, does that set the tone for what you can do or what you're willing to do now. Because I like it. And you know what? Even though a good ass kicking is always something I'm into seeing, I like how even though Chad Gable turned heel, he didn't go so over the top with the assault. Like Liv Morgan, for instance. But as we know, tiny but crazy blonde white women will go crazy. Like, you know, we see them on True TV all the time. So that makes sense. But for him to still do it, but it's just more like a more vicious wrestling, it reminds me a lot of 97 Bret Hart. When he was just trying to harm you with wrestling. Like, he didn't really like using chairs and hitting you with the ring bell and things.
He was the hardest technical wrestler of all time.
Yeah, he was just like, yo, I'm going to really beat you up. Like, no, I'm going to, contort your body.
I'm going to snap suplex the hell out of you.
Right, right. It was one of those. And we need people like that. It shouldn't just be reserved for the guy that's like 6'6 and 300 pounds. Like, what happens to the guy that's just, you know, maybe below average height? But if he gets his hands on you, going to break your arm. Like, or he'll break your neck or your leg or something like that. So I do like it. I want to see where it goes. I want to see what happens with Alpha Academy, because are we talking heel faction?
Oh, no, I think that shit dead. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I knew something was up when Maxine Dupri came out looking like Brie Bella or Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
When she came out there with the fearless Nikki Bella gear, I said, oh, it's a change coming.
Yeah.
It's a change coming.
Because
subtle shit like that make me realize that they're just going to spread these niggas apart.
Yeah. And damn, I hate that for Otis, because the Chad Gable that is coming, I want to see Otis turn it up, because Otis got himself over, man. Now, granted, he got himself over doing something that we all love to do. It's just that, and that's one to hit Mandy Rose Raw. But at the same time, he was doing some great work in the ring as well. And I am, but once I seen them, matter of fact, to Brandon's point, when I seen Otis and Tozawa on NXT, I was like, oh, it's a wrap, huh? Like, they really don't care anymore. So, but you know what, though? This is what the Intercontinental Championship needs, though. You know, and salute the Triple H for this. I also like how the fact that the men and the women are fighting for more than one title. It's not more than just being about being the main event, you know, the world champion or the WWE champion. Now people are like, no, I want to be the Intercontinental Champion. And that's something that we had lost for years. It was kind of just like a belt that was there, much like the US title, a belt that was just there. So I love it for that reason. I like that Chad Gable is reincarnating 97 Bret Hart and he's already done 2001 Kurt Angle. So he's almost Angle Invitational worthy, but we'll see what happens. I'm excited for it, though.
Oh, this definitely felt like Kurt Angle seeing Eddie Guerrero handcuffed. It definitely felt like that. And I'm going to let y'all know, ladies and gentlemen, that is the first time ever in my history of watching wrestling where a regular nigga, what I mean by that is, like you said, not nobody 6'7", 300 pounds,
right,
or whatever, looks scary to me. Boy, with Kurt Angle, I need y'all to look at that Raw episode again. When Eddie Guerrero was handcuffed and Kurt Angle came out, you saw the look on Eddie Guerrero's face. Oh, no. Oh, no. Kurt Angle about to kill this man. Yeah. When Chad Gable lost, I said, yo, Camp's prediction about to come true. Yeah. And he suplexed him in front of his wife. I said, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
let me shout out Sami Zayn here. Oh my God. Look, I've said this on the show and I said it as a hot take. This is not a hot take to me. Mm. Sami Zayn is never my top 20 of all time.
Really?
Last Monday did it.
Okay.
It's not just about what you do in the ring, because like I said, Sami Zayn can have a great match with a broom.
For sure.
But it's these moments like this. There's no better person to turn heel on than Sami Zayn.
Yeah, that's
because it feels so dramatic. It feels like Sami Zayn is about to die. Let's just go back to NXT. The man won the title, and Kevin Owens celebrated with his homie and then beat his ass. And we was all like, damn.
Man, how you do it like that?
How you do it like that? There's not one time that Sami Zayn, somebody turned heel on Sami Zayn, which is really only like 2-3 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like 2-3 people. Roman Reigns was already heel. I guess everybody was already heel, but it was still dramatic the way all of that shit happened.
Because we were cheering for Roman, though. He was a heel, but we were cheering for him.
Right. So still, like, it's what he did to Sammy that they was like, nah, we ain't cheering. We know you a heel. Now you a heel again. Like, nigga, fuck right. you. Why would you do that to Sammy? Right. When Kevin Owens did it, it was all those times. It was like, damn, Chad Gable in Montreal whooping his ass? Come on, fam.
Yeah.
At the crib whooping his ass? Nah, it's...
Yeah.
It gets him over to the point where another question I got for you is, we've talked about this with the World Heavyweight Championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've still said that it's the Universal Championship, then it's the World Championship,
yeah,
it's the Intercontinental sure. Championship, like slightly under it now, then it's mm-hmm. the United States Championship, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, the World Heavyweight Championship is still a secondary championship,
mm-hmm.
which anybody could win. It's yeah. almost like the, and damn, Rick Rude don't come down here and rude awakening me. But it's like when Rick Rude wins the WCW International Heavyweight Championship. It's like, mm-hmm. all right, so what?
Yeah, no,
congratulations. It's a world championship? All right, congratulations.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you see Chad Gable, this version of what might be coming,
mm-hmm.
being a true challenger for that championship? Because I will say this, in getting his ass whooped, Sami Zayn is going to make my prediction of him having that belt in 2024 come true.
Mm.
That shit gonna come true.
Mm.
He gotta get some shit for that ass whooping. He don't need to hold that belt for 100 days. Fuck that.
Right.
For sure. But does Chad Gable move up the ladder?
I think it depends on what we see from Chad Gable. You know, and I wanna say this because I don't think Chad Gable has ever been bad. Like, I mean, as far as like just getting himself over as an established wrestler slash character, I almost called him Alpha Academy. American Alpha, when he had the long hair and the headband, I was like, no, dude, nice. Like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think the shoes thank you thing would get over, but it did. And you know, he kind of tapped into like a new version of the genius. I'm like, wow, that was cool. I'm really just kind of uncertain about where he's going to take this character, because I asked this and I asked this question with all sincerity, because I think it's an anomaly, but like, would this era truly love Kurt Angle that debuted in 2000 or 99, I'm sorry, because we didn't at first. And then it took the three eyes to work. So now, as I say that, do we want to see Chad Gable do any of that? Or do we want to see him do something else? Because I don't want them to black tight and black boot dude. And he just get out here and he just wrestles really well. But at the same time, the Olympian thing, the American Olympic wrestler thing, ain't necessarily working for him. It's the other shit. So I guess I'm just worried about the angle, pun intended, because it doesn't seem like what he's been doing has granted him the run that's lasted longer than 3 months.
Right. Do you see a potential of team angle type situation, like, you know, maybe Otis and Tozawa would look and be like, yo, bro, what are you doing? And then, like, the Creeds come up their ass and there's Gable and the Creeds.
Hey, let's do that. Now that, I believe, two big white boys with a waterhead white boy that just wrestle really well and hurt people. I'm actually here for that.
White people 18 to 34 are for that as well. Let's get into the last part. And we had mentioned this a little bit before the show. It's really just talking about who got a chance. Like, now this feels like after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because sure. We got some cuts. that we're going to talk about in a second. But then we got new challengers. We got Jey Uso versus Damian Priest in at Backlash in France. We have Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. So yeah. LA Knight, yeah, didn't get it, no. we got Chad Gable and Sami Zayn. The Street Profits versus A-Town Down Under. And we have your favorite tag team.
Hey, yo, man. Well, you got to relax with some of your verbs and adjectives.
You have the most phrases. You have the most hated tag team in the history of First Black Champ, DIY, versus The Miz and R-Truth, Awesome Truth. I know who you feel like don't have a chance in hell. But who do you feel like has the best chance of dethroning the current champion out of all of those new challengers?
I mean, out of all the new ones, the best chance, I think, I honestly do think kind of, no, it's Jey Uso. I want to put the Street Profits in there, but it's Jey Uso. But I don't think that, and I don't think that's going to happen. Like, man. You know, strategically, what I see here is a bunch of people that have the privilege of losing to the new champs. That's all this is to me.
Damn.
I don't see none of this as like, oh, we're going to get a hot potato title change.
So you basically saying this is Saturday night's main event type shit.
For sure.
Damn.
For sure. Hey, look. They didn't go through all that finish the story shit for the whole first quarter for Cody to lose to AJ Styles.
AJ Styles. Actually, AJ Styles is the one person that ain't got no chance. In fact, I did not realize them two never wrestled, but AJ wrestled Dusty.
Wow. Damn. So
we're about to get a brand new match.
Yeah, right. And salute to the brand new match. But you already know how this story ends. Like, hey, and you know what? I honestly do like Jey Uso versus Damian Priest because obviously Damian Priest hasn't got to perform and get a W. That's not the cash in. But I also think that Jey Uso got to redeem himself from night one at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
That in a match that should have been top three at worst for that weekend, it's easily one of the moments that we can forget and we strayed on it. So I like that match because it seemed like both of those gentlemen have something to prove. I like how we're recognizing Damian Priest as the champ.
Wait till the guarantee.
Obviously, ain't got the light on him.
Shannon, wait till the guarantee because I've been calling this for a year. But wait till the guarantee.
Hey, listen. And speaking of that, Cody, heel turn and all of that. I'm glad that they did this. Like they did. They gave LA Knight the WrestleMania victory over AJ Styles because that's important. I didn't want LA Knight to be the first guy to lose to Cody Rhodes. I didn't want that. So I'm totally fine with that. That wasn't a heat check moment. That was a, hey, these guys actually had one of the better matches at WrestleMania, and it was for nothing. So let's put one of them in front of Cody first. I think AJ needs that look that, hey, yo, I'm still main event. I was a world champion at one point. I think he needs that more than LA Knight did. LA Knight got a WrestleMania victory. He can live off that till about June.
Yes, he can.
You know what I'm saying? So that. Street Profits, A-Town Down Under. I'm curious because the Street Profits better win something here really soon. They better win something. And I ain't talking about another fatal four-way match. They have a knack for winning matches when it's a bunch of people.
Hey, they won the Lose or Leave SmackDown match.
Yeah, hey.
Essentially, that's what that match was.
Hey, but who won that? You know, but at the same time, who won? Who really won that Lose or Leave SmackDown match? I don't know. I really don't know.
So, Lose or Leave SmackDown. As soon as I saw AOP on SmackDown, I mean on NXT with everybody, I was like, the fuck? This is a Lose or Leave SmackDown match. Wow.
You know, but yeah, no, I look at this as all as like, hey, look, we got a stellar card, we got stellar talent, but these the champs. So let's see where it goes. But July, we'll start talking about potential channel changes for me.
You ain't gonna like this.
Oh, shoot, here we go.
Begin DMT part one.
Mm.
Yeah, DIY beating the Awesome Truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is disgusting. I can't believe you said that on this platform. That's disgusting. Yo, that fucking sucks.
As soon as they won the match, I was like, fuck. I don't want to have to come on here and say this shit.
No, man.
Because I see this similar to when Zack Ryder won the Intercontinental Championship but lost it the next day. We gave the fans their moment.
Yeah, I get this shit out of here.
I get this shit out of here. Like, all right. Yeah. And when Triple H was confused about R-Truth jokes and shit, he's like, we gonna get this, we get this the fuck up out of here. Yeah. Y'all not holding this belt for 2 months. I hope y'all know that shit, right? Like, fuck up out of here with this shit. That's the team that got the best chance. Mm. When they kept showing the fucking Damian Priest vignettes, and him getting hugs by Rock and the Undertaker, I'm like, oh, they can't have him lose the belt in France. Like, it might look like, oh, man, this is Jimmy Uso's time to shine, but then Solo gonna make sure that ain't gonna happen. Because, hey, Tama Tonga looks scary. Like, he's scary nigga number. The way his ass was, like, all that shit. First of all, hey, kudos to WWE for bringing back vehicular attempted manslaughter. We ain't seen that in a while. When you know Triple H is in. Hey, you know Triple H is in power. When we start seeing vehicular attempted,
attempted murder.
We start seeing crimes.
And
Triple H is WWE. We're bringing back crimes. We're bringing back real crimes.
They need to do. Like they did the Attitude Era joint, they need to do a true crime series, true crime storyline in the WWE.
Yeah, we bring it back crimes.
Homicide, you'll see manslaughter, you're going to see sodomy, you're going to see, it's going to be a bunch of things.
Whatever like, the shit is when you're having sex with dead people, like that shit too, like we bring that shit back. Like
necrophilia?
Necrophilia. Like, look, kudos to Triple H for bringing back real crimes. Because when Kevin Owens came out, it got thrown out by Tama Tonga. And Tama Tonga was just like, yo, heck of this nigga. Let me go to the ring. Let me step over him. I was like, yo, this dude's crazy. But then towards the end of the night, when Nick Aldis was like, look, see what happened.
Right.
I was like, oh, real crimes is back. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Let's get it back to dangerous.
Like a class A felony to get wrestling back in order.
Yeah, we getting this back in order. And it runs in the family because Rikishi.
Yeah.
See.
Hey, again, true crime. WWE storyline. Let's do it. Come on, Paul. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's bring it back. When all that shit was going on, I was like, yeah, they losing this to friends. And then DIY won, I was like, oh, because he called Tommaso Ciampa Triple H too. I was like,
yeah. Even though it's funny with watching R-Truth get everybody to break character or try to, that's what Triple H left. He's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah,
we're not doing this.
All right, man.
That might ruin. That might ruin my next Black History Month. Though,
I know it will. I know it will. As soon as you hear Samantha be like, you're gonna be like,
yeah. Where the fuck are my Black Music Month?
Right.
WWE.
All right, man. Hey, if you are early listener of First Black Chat, how Kemp hates Johnny Wrestling. I hate Jinder Mahal. If you go back and listen to early episodes of First Black Chat, before we was on Barbershop Network,
yeah, man,
I had a hate for Jinder Mahal. And when he won the world championship clean, oh, I have to find that episode because it was a classic.
Yeah, over Randy Orton.
Yeah, over Randy Orton. It was, I was upset. Well, Jinder Mahal got his walking papers the other day, along with Zia Lee and the other two people that was with Jinder Mahal. It's like, yep, he ain't here, so we'll need y'all.
Whole Asian faction.
Whole Asian faction.
Released. Gone. All in free agency right now.
So, just like every other wrestling fan does on Twitter, I ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Did the WWE drop the ball or Jinder Mahal, Zia Lee, or the other two that they released? Zynga and Andrasir or some shit.
Yeah, and you know, I do like Veer. Ain't that dude name?
Yeah, Veer. Yeah, that's.
I actually do like Veer though. I mess with Veer.
Okay.
But no, they didn't.
You know that's not even a serious question that they dropped.
I mean, hey, you never know. Hey, listen.
Motherfuckers be on Twitter like, oh, they released Coco Beware. They dropped the ball.
Right, exactly. Hey, with some of the takes that we have seen in the last 3 years.
They dropped the ball on Coco Beware.
I want to be clear. Like, hey, yo, I did actually mess with Veer, but yeah, Jinder Mahal. Hey, I knew it was a wrap for Jinder Mahal during that rock segment. Like, if you want to keep it real, I think that was heat check of the year. It was like, yo, let's see if anybody even gives a fuck about you at this point.
Yeah.
And they gave him a mic, and 3 minutes, and he didn't do shit with it. I still kind of feel like they went way off script, or he wasn't able to draw enough heat or reaction in enough time, so they just let The Rock go out there. So, like, I would love to see a behind the scenes on just, like, segment fails, because I think that was literally one of them. So I have no surprise here. And the fact that, you know, the other two don't talk. So you kind of got to get released with them. Like, y'all never grabbed the mic to say anything. Like,
y'all
so
just made it back, like.
Yeah. So we don't need, we don't want to hear from you. And we never heard these two say anything. So you kind of lost. This is where, I'll tell you what, all three of them, they probably would have thrived in the 80s because of managers. You know, Master Fuji would have got them over.
Oh, hell yeah. We need a Master Fuji, fam. We need. I know Brando said, I don't think 2024 needs even foreigner gimmicks. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We don't need Samoans with no shoes on and eating coconuts. But yes, we do need an angry Russia.
Yeah.
We do need an Iron Sheik. In the day and age, we need an Iron Sheik.
No, for sure. That's a fact. Because he go crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Injure Seth Rollins. Yeah. Hey, look, you can't injure Seth Rollins and then get out there on the mic and bomb, man. You can't crash and burn after that. You better have something great coming up because you're messing up the money at this point. So yeah, no surprise. I mean, I ain't gonna say no surprise, but no, they didn't drop the ball, guys. Sorry. sorry if you're wondering.
But they dropped the ball on Zia Lee. No, they didn't.
Nah. For her to randomly come out like she just in a Tarantino fight scene and just start kicking and choking people, and that's all, but she lose every match, that's wild. Like, it's like, yeah. Yo, come on. Make her the hardcore champion or something. I don't know. But
if anything, I think that Jinder Mahal exceeded his WWE career.
Oh yeah.
Like, listen, he shit.
Hey, And I know we're not really in the moment of giving praise to people that we don't like. But since you got me, I got to get you. Jinder Mahal is the greatest asterisk transitional champion of all time. All time. You'll never meet a guy who did way too much with one fleeting opportunity, and he turned it into being the longest reigning SmackDown champion of the era, of the era that he was in. And he lived off of that enough to get a pay-per-view, a PLE in India. And he opened up the market for Vince to get one last money grab that spawned Saudi Mania, all to lose it in a piss-poor mic moment and to get beat up by a 50-plus-year-old Rock. Jinder Mahal won forever.
Hey, man. Jinder Mahal's claim to fame for me is The Rock basically telling me, not The Rock, Brock Lesnar basically telling dude, you don't even exist to me. Hey. Why are you challenging me, fam?
No, I'm not. I'm wrestling AJ Styles,
bro. Yeah, I'm wrestling AJ Styles. It's wasting my time, fam. What are you talking about?
Hey, see, hey, look, and see, that's another reason why. Hey, Brock Lesnar. Granted, we know who Brock Lesnar is now with these court documents.
Freak man.
But for him to be on the streak he was with that title, and for the guy to be like, "Nah, I don't even want to take the belt off him." We're not even on the bill together, bro. No. Like, what? Who does that? Who does that? Brett didn't do that to Sean, and he hated him. He felt that he was ruining his marriage. And he didn't do it. Bret Hart was like, yo, you're trying to fuck up my marriage, Sean. And they still went out there for WrestleMania.
It had a classic match.
Man, listen. Hey. First Black Chair Podcast, baby. We the best in the world.
Hey, man. Hey, before we get out of here, Guaranteed Tees, I drop mine off first. Oh, I'm holding on to my year long now. So, Shannon, let me let you know this. Been saying this for about a year now. Cody Rhodes is going to go on his Homelander shit.
Mm.
And my prediction is it's going to happen while he's the champ. I don't know if you noticed, but the first night that he was champ, they said that the ratings dropped.
Mm.
And then he was overseas wrestling. He wants to take the belt everywhere. He wants to do everything with it. Just like they did with CM Punk, fam, mm-hmm. I could very well see Roman Reigns come back, starts to get cheered, and Cody go, what the fuck is this shit? Y'all know who I am.
Right.
If Roman, I don't expect to see Roman back to the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Let me say this. I don't expect to see Roman Reigns back until the Royal Rumble. But if he does come back, you're going to hear the crowd explode. Because it looks like he's on a collision course with his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. Roman, he go, fam, he go. So I said this before WrestleMania. I said this the day after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
He go, fam. We ain't going to see this dude for almost a year. But if he does come back, and let's say he comes back after SummerSlam. Let's give it to SummerSlam because we got to see how this shit work out with his cousins.
Because mm-hmm.
right now, Solo do look dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
And Tama Tonga looks even more dangerous. And when Jacob Fatu come through, Paul ain't going to know what to do with himself. Paul is going to call Roman Reigns like Miss Elizabeth called Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 4. I need you, fam. Come on. Please. And Roman is going to get the pop of his life. And everybody's going to be cheering him. And we're going to see Paul Heyman turn on Roman. Because as we said last week, shouts out to the FBC Tag Team Champs, yeah. A-Plus and DJ Nails. We all was in agreement. Don't nobody want to see a face Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see Paul Heyman on the turnbuckle. Just we don't want to see that.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't want to see that. We want to see Paul Heyman look at Roman and say, hey, they more treacherous, fam. I got to stick over here.
Yeah, man.
With that being said, that man Roman is going to get the pop of, oh my God, once he gets his ass beat by his cousins, AKA the niggas that the casual fans for WWE don't know. She has the casual fans.
Right.
Not wrestling fans, but the casual fans that watch WWE, like, what the fuck is Jacob Fatu?
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, Tama Tonga, he looks like a lean version of Roman. Oh, we need Jay and Jimmy back. Oh, we need Roman. Cody gonna be sitting there like, why the fuck am I not in the main event? Hold on, Also, Roman back, y'all think it's sweet? And we're going to start to see the slow heel turn of Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes will be a heel at WrestleMania 41, ladies and gentlemen. That is my guarantee. At WrestleMania 41, Cody Rhodes will be in full Homelander swag. Making people bleed and rubbing against his chest. And waving at the fans, like, I love y'all. Y'all love me. Hey, WrestleMania 41, Cody goes bad, if he's not already.
Okay. I like it. I low-key got a couple guarantees. The first one is one I meant to give last week or the week before. And, I mean, it might be a guarantee low-hanging fruit, to be honest with you, if we've been paying attention.
Okay.
I guarantee that Carlito definitely beat the shit out of Dragon Lee. And I definitely believe that he's going to kill the LWO from the inside. and it's not going to lead to him being with LDF. I also don't think that that's going to happen either. I just think that Carlito, the standalone talent that he is going to be like, yo, putting this young punk over me, who's laden with this Asian wrestling character, that's not cool. And I gotta get rid of him. Like, and y'all better watch out too, because this ain't even y'all shit. So I definitely have the emergence of Carlito, the solo superstar again. It comes off of being the one that actually did attack Dragon Lee and taking him out of that event, because I mean, hey, the story was, yo, how is it not Carlito? How he picked Dragon Lee? Dragon Lee ain't even LWO, but they just made him like he signed the paperwork right before they came out or whatever. So he's like, yo, let me get rid of him, and then he signed Andrade to the match. He's like, oh, yo, okay, all right. So it's just anybody Latin but me, right? Okay, I'm like, here we go. Now let me do what I do. I also, since the draft was teased.
Oh, yeah, because that's coming up next. That's coming up this week.
Yeah.
So, and I ain't want to make no predictions because this shit's all over the place.
Right. So the only thing I want to say is this. I don't know if it's Jey Uso going back to SmackDown or if it's Jimmy going over to Raw, but I will say one of the main storylines for this spring going into summer will be Jimmy versus Jay and their road to getting back together. So now, with that going on, I don't think you interfere with what Solo got going on by himself, because, hey, Solo's in the process of getting himself over. He got Dominic Mysterio treatment on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's important. I literally just said, hey, what is going to happen with this guy? Because he's not who we saw a year ago. And look at that. Who thought beating down Jimmy SoundClick was the way to get him over? Didn't see that coming. So I see that happening. I see, let's just say for sake of an argument, I see Jimmy getting traded to Raw. I see Jimmy versus Jay, the storyline looking much better, maybe one more better match, and then they are back together as a team because they need to reclaim the tag titles. And, hey, and who better to beat DIY based on Bang's prediction than the Usos? I can't think of a better team. Hey, especially the newly faced Usos. Oh, yeah. Run roughshod over Fievel and Tommaso. You know what I mean?
Look, I'm still waiting for Logan Paul and Dominic Mysterio to be not only on the same show, but to be a tag team.
Hey, I get it. But, hey, yo, when, unfortunately, because Rhea Ripley is out, did Judgment Day about to break up a little different? Oh, that's my other one. Guarantee the real one. Because that other one was just proxy, right? Mother guarantee is that now Judgment Day does break up differently, but Dominic Mysterio gets Latin as fuck the rest of this year. He already played. He was like, yo, he only hanging around Latin individuals. If y'all notice that, now that he got off of that fresh Aussie, nah, he ready to get back out in these Boricua streets, and it's about to go up. Hey, when we look back at the faction, the Judgment Day, dare I say, it would have created three of the biggest superstars of this era. Even though, and I do think JD and Finn are going to win the tag team titles at some point. I think that's how it breaks down.
Usher, they win Damian that shit Solo. In France.
Yeah. Damian Rose Solo. Dominic Mysterio, the next Latin superstar, like rivaling his dad's level of popularity. Rhea Ripley is Rhea Ripley already. She's gonna come back and do more of that. And I got JD and Finn Balor win the tag team titles. And that's gonna resonate into some stat for Finn Balor about how he should really be in everybody's top 10. And it flew under the radar. You know what I'm saying? I think that's gonna be one of those things.
Well, yeah. We gonna see what happens, but hey, I still need my Art Bar Eddie Guerrero moment. I need them to frog splash the shit out of somebody in succession and be who they supposed to be, the two most hated men on television. That's what I need. Real quick before we get out of here, how you like them new tag team championships?
Oh, I like them, man. I think they're super dope. I mean, especially based on what they had. Like, I still wouldn't fill in the pleather with the aluminum trash can lids on them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those... Hands down, the Raw and SmackDown tag titles were the worst titles ever. We could have got any of our children to collaborate, and they would have came up with something better than those. Love the new titles. I love that the titles look like titles now. Like, you want to hold those joints. Pause. And, yeah, man, now let's see some great content. Let's see some great story with these great-looking titles. I think every single title looks dope right now in the WWE.
I especially like the SmackDown ones. I like both.
Yeah.
But I especially like the SmackDown ones because it does not look like something else.
Yeah, like it don't like the Raw titles, but just because it got the
exactly.
Red.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, y'all do that shit. That's wild. I mean, I like both belts, but the Raw championships look like the other championships. The SmackDown championships actually look closer to the SmackDown era belts.
Yeah. Yeah, and those
more
are fire.
Anything. And those was dope. I like those tag team championships. So I really dig those belts. With that being said, man, look, great show.
Yeah.
Great talking to y'all. We can't do this. Well, Kemp's going to say that part. But with that being said, though, remember next week, no show. Kemp will be in Lexington. I will be in the ocean or hey. Grand Turk, one of them. Not for sure exactly where around that time. So we will talk to y'all again. What's that on Cinco de Mayo? We might even have to have an all-Mexican show planned for y'all. We might just talk about Mexican wrestling. We might just talk about C-Mill and AAA. We might just talk about our favorite Spanish wrestlers of all time, our Spanish wrestling moments. You know what I'm saying? We might even just talk about who probably should be Spanish. I don't know. But we'll see what happens, because I might have tequila on deck early that morning, because it's Cinco de Mayo. And it can't be a Cinco de Mayo without us talking about Santos Escobar. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, thank y'all. And I'm passing on over to Kemp.
You know what I'm saying? Conan fandom loading. All right?
Uh-oh. Hey,
man. You know what I'm saying?
Negro Casas.
You know what I'm saying?
What? Shouts out to Negro Casas. Villanano number 5 in this bitch. You know what we talking about, boy. We don't just watch regular wrestling, nigga. We was up there watching Octagon. Not Octagon, this crazy looking nigga. We talking about his daddy that looked like a ninja that wrestled in the Bruce Lee shoes. That's what we be on, fam.
Yeah, man.
Cuantos años TNAs, nigga. Mucho gusto, mi amo bang in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Miss Foshay. Shouts out to Miss Foshay and Michelle Clark. If you went to Michelle Clark and you was there from 95 to like 98, you had Miss Foshay for Spanish. Nigga, that's all we know. Como estas, Vince Gracias y tu. Mucho gusto, mi amo bang. Como estas, que tal? Both are ways to say, how are you? All right, let me stop, because it's going to start sounding racist. And it don't matter to be.
Stop. So with that said, guys, I hope you enjoy your dinner tonight, because if you're not ordering tostadas or something after all of that, ooh, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Nigga, put the carne asada on the grill, nigga. All right, let me stop.
Oh, man. But hey, but we appreciate y'all checking out the show this week, man. Oh, man. The FBC community could not do this without all of you. Your likes, your conversation. Yeah, your comments, your shares.
Greatest Spanish wrestler of all time.
You know what I'm saying? Razor Ramon. Hey, you hey. That's actually, he's supposed to be Cuban. So you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Hey, man, I'm going to get him out of here. Hey, listen, man, we appreciate y'all. Hey, listen, obviously, the first Black Channel community would be something pretty dope. It was just Bang and I. But all of you and your contributions to our community, that's what makes it special. That's what makes it dope. That's what makes it the realest wrestling community in the entire world. So, man, extreme gratitude and thanks to all of you. And understand, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast. Pick VP, DOC, and we are out. Absolutely fuck Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah. Damn. Future Tag Team Champion.
Man, get your picks our ass. Yeah.